Psalm 34. Verse 4 is where we'll be taking the text tonight. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There's a lot there tonight, but if you'll hear that first part, I sought the Lord and He heard me. That's good news tonight when you're praying, seeking God and knowing that He hears you. I don't know about you, but there's nothing that will satisfy me more than to begin to see my prayers beginning to be answered. Because see, true prayer is labor. True prayer is sacrifice. It means that you sometimes have got to lose sleep. Sometimes you'll push aside the plate. But what is prayer? Prayer is when we seek God and we begin to go to Him and bring our prayers to Him. Somebody said, I'm one that just likes to talk to God. Well, it's okay to talk to God, but I don't know. I think the Lord is to be reverenced. And when you hear about the great men of God like Moses and Isaiah, when they saw the Lord, they could not look upon the face of God. And brothers and sisters, when the Bible speaks of seeking God, it means we must seek Him through prayer. Amen. Prayer and His Word is the way that we have access to not only understanding God through His Word, that is what reveals God to us, but prayer is a way that we build a relationship with God. Can you build a relationship without communication? What type of relationship will there be, whether it be a friend, whether it be a marriage? If there's no communication, there will be no understanding of one another, and there'll be no closeness. There'll be no communication. You show me a marriage that has no communication, and I'll show you a marriage where they're fussing and fighting, and there's strife, and there's discord. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? A house divided amongst itself cannot stand. God is looking for communion. God is seeking for us to seek after His face. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. What is God saying in the midst of that? He says, I am the answer. I have the answer. All that you need, all that you seek for, all that you desire will be found in me. That's where the answer lies. That's where the answer is. And brothers and sisters, if we can only grasp to understand that when trouble comes, when adversity comes, when struggles of life come, when we go without, or when we have abundance, we've still got to maintain a communication with God. But listen, there's too many today that only worship God when times are good. But the real, true test of Christianity and your closeness with God is, can you praise God in the midst of hardship? Can you still maintain a prayer life when things are not going the way that you want them to go? David was in a place of desperation, and he says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, hallelujah, and delivered me from all of my fears. Amen. I want to talk tonight on the power of prayer to deliver us. How many of us know sometimes the best prayer that you can get is not from your pastor? It's not from a friend. It's not from your brothers and sisters in Christ. No, we need prayer from one another. We need to pray for one another. But sometimes people have just got to learn to pray for themselves. That is the real key. Amen. Because listen, we can have folks pray for us, and that is definitely needed. We must pray for one another. But there's nothing like when a man or a woman can feel the need in their heart and their soul, where the Spirit of God begins to draw them into a place of prayer. And he begins to, amen, seek the face of God. And that man or that woman begins to commune with God. God begins to reveal things to him. The Bible says, when we don't know what to do, we must get our eyes on the Lord. It was David that knew how to get out of trouble, how to get advice, how to get wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You've got to admit tonight, there's no one that could pray like David could pray. He was a man that could seek the Lord with all of his heart. He knew how to repent to God in prayer. He knew how to seek God in prayer. Now, if there's one thing you want to say about David, he was a man that knew how to seek God, especially in the places of hardship and desperation. And when he was especially in times of trouble, David sought the Lord and he said, God heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. In 2 Corinthians 1:11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Paul says, I couldn't do it without you, my brothers. He was talking to the Corinthians. I want to bring this point out tonight. The importance of praying for one another. Amen. We know that there's power in prayer. There's power when we intercede for individuals. I want you to grasp this tonight to understand that we can help people by praying for them. This may seem elementary, but this is something that we oftentimes overlook, as if the importance of interceding for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and not for just them, but Jesus even said, for your enemies. And this is the real answer to helping somebody. Oftentimes we can help them with finances, food, clothes, or materialistic things. And brothers and sisters, can I tell you, that's a never-ending need for humanity. But they're always going to need food. They're always going to need clothes. They're always going to have physical needs. But can I tell you, the real need for people is that they need people to pray for them. Where would some of us be tonight if grandpa wasn't praying for us? If grandma wasn't praying for us? If our pastor from years gone by wasn't praying for us? What about mama and daddy? Aren't you glad tonight to know that there's power in prayer when we intercede for individuals? God can help people through the power of prayer. He says, you are also helping what? Together. By what? By prayer for us. Paul acknowledged this key point of where he got his help. Can I tell you, I can feel when folks are praying for me. I've never felt it more evident when I'm in the mission field. And I know the church is praying for me without ceasing. I always tell the church, I'm going down into territory where it's very dangerous. We just don't know what we're going to expect sometimes when we go into the foreign fields to preach the gospel. But can I tell you, there's been times of weakness. There's been times when I've been physically struggling in my body. There's been times when I've been spiritually oppressed down in Mexico, fighting and preaching and laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, doing all that I could do to do the work of the Lord in these foreign fields. And I'd almost felt like just getting discouraged and frustrated. But all to once, I feel a strength come down from within, and I begin to feel a surge of power. I begin to feel a surge of encouragement. I begin to feel my help coming from another realm. And that is the help of saints of God that know how to pray. Saints of God that know how to help somebody, though they may be 2,000 miles apart, though you may be 100 miles apart. There's no distance in prayer tonight. Amen. There's power in prayer. We can pray for brothers and sisters in Christ that are struggling and need help. You don't need to be there all together to help them. All you need to do is drop down to your knees and begin to intercede to the God of all heaven, and He will answer prayer, because prayer is the answer to helping those that we are not in close contact with. God is answering prayer. I'm hearing testimonies. Family members, friends, loved ones, hearing testimonies of saints of God all over the country where God is answering the prayers of His people. Aren't you glad tonight, even though our nation is going down the wrong road and things are falling apart and everything seems to be in confusion and in a tailspin, and we know that the only thing that's going to change it, it's not our government, it's not Obama, it's not Donald Trump, it's not Hillary Clinton, it's not our congressmen or our senators. The only thing that's going to change our nation and the condition of things that's taking place is if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I said they need to humble themselves and pray. The greatest help that we can give our nation is we need to be intercessors to pray for our nation. Pray for our leadership and pray that God sends a revival to the churches in our nation. There is help that God provides when His people will pray. Acts 12:5. Now in this record of the Bible, I want to give you the setting very briefly, that Peter is locked up in prison. Now, before that, they took the head of James off. They cut his head off. And the Bible says that Peter was next. So Peter knew what happened to James. James got his head cut off. They were wanting the same thing to be done to Peter. And the Bible says what? Acts 12:5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made, hallelujah, without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'm telling you, the key word to that is there was some people praying. Yeah, they were getting ready to schedule his execution. Peter was locked up. It looked impossible in the natural realm. I mean, he's chained up with chains. I'm talking about he's got 16 soldiers watching him. He's in prison. But there's a little church on the other side of the city, and they're interceding on the behalf of their pastor Peter, and they're beginning to pray. They're beginning to seek their face. I'm not talking some 5-minute little prayer meeting. I'm not talking some little 15-minute prayer session. I'm talking about when the people of God begin to pray. They understood the seriousness of this. They understood that somebody's going to die if we don't pray. Somebody's going to get their head cut off. Peter, amen, was asleep. Can I tell you that is a miracle in itself? How can Peter be sleeping when he knows he's getting ready to face execution? And I'm telling you, there's power in prayer. We need to understand it doesn't matter how impossible it looks, how the conditions look. There's power in prayer when the people of God can come together, seek the face of God, bind their hearts together in one mind, in one accord, and God can do the impossible. He was kept in a prison house. And I tell you, that's a picture of those that are in bondage, those that are behind prison doors, those that have the shackles of sin on them. How are we going to see our drug addict family members set free? How are we going to see our sons and daughters that are bound to booze and alcohol and drugs and sex and lust and all the perversion that this world has to offer? How are they going to get set free? I know they've said there's a 12-step to this. There's a 5-step to this. Buy my book and this is assuredly going to work for them. But I'm telling you, God's remedy has never changed. He said there's power in a praying people. There is power when his people will pray. I want to remind you, they didn't pray just an hour. They prayed round the clock. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and do what? Pray. Prayer is the answer for the deliverance of the drug addict, for the wayward son, for the prodigal son. Prayer is what moves the hand of God to turn a nation's heart back to him. And I'm telling you, I know we hear it taught on. We hear preachers preach on it. But we can only get the spirit of this message tonight to understand God's ways have not changed. It is the power of prayer that's going to bring a mighty move of God back to our nation and turn the hearts of the people of God back to him. God knows what we need, but sometimes he just wants us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. He knows your desires. He knows your needs. But he wants you to seek him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is seeking the kingdom of God? It is the will of God. It's seeking God in prayer. David said, I sought the Lord. I want to encourage someone to know that when we pray, God shall answer that prayer. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. I want to stir your heart to understand tonight, to know that doors shall be opened up that seemed impossible when we pray. Deliverance in the lives of those that look like they cannot be delivered will come to pass when we pray. Alcoholics are delivered through the power of prayer. Can I tell you the key is praying till the answer comes. Most of us give up. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the Lord? And he began to wrestle. And what was his request? I want my blessing. I want what I've come for. He was desperate. He says, I want my blessing. I want what you have for me. We've got to have a determination like Jacob. But here's where most of us are. God touched his thigh and he injured him. How many of us know when he injured him, most of us would have stopped praying right there? A little bit of pain. Somebody offended me. Somebody said something against me. Somebody said something that, oh, I didn't like. That's no reason to quit praying. I'm telling you, that's when we've got to pray for our enemies. That's where we got to do good unto them. It's like heaping coals upon their head. Amen. That's one of the most difficult things to do, is when somebody's betrayed you, somebody's turned their back on you, somebody's done something so hurtful to you, and you can get on your knees and pray on their behalf for the mercy of God and the grace of God to be extended to them. I'm telling you, that's a real man of God. That's a real woman of God. When we can really obey God and pray for our enemies. Brothers and sisters, this is the key to seeing God open doors and do the impossible. They were praying without ceasing. Prayer was made without what? They didn't stop praying. Can I tell you, that's the key to the moves of God in the days gone by with revivals. It was Smith Wigglesworth that constantly had a small group of people praying in a back room. Sometimes they were under the platform. Sometimes they were under a tree. But that was the key when he was preaching and laying hands on the sick and ministering the word of God. There was a group of people in the church that were praying without ceasing for the man of God. Can I tell you, this is the key to seeing a manifestation of the power and the glory of God come back to His sanctuary and manifest in the lives of His people through signs and wonders and miracles. People being saved, people being set free, people being delivered. It is when the church begins to pray without ceasing round the clock that God begins to dispatch the heavenly answer. He begins to dispatch angels. You read in your Bible in Acts chapter 12. This is what took place, brothers and sisters. Peter was on one side of the city locked up, getting ready to get his head cut off. There was a church on the other side of town behind closed doors with God. And they were praying without ceasing. And God began to dispatch heavenly angels down into Peter's prison. What was the answer? It was a church that was praying. God sent the answer. Can I tell you, everything that we need, the answer will be found in prayer. Romans 15 and 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me. How many of us know unity is key in prayer? I said unity is key. When they all came into the upper room, they all came eventually into one mind and one accord. Amen? The unity is the key to seeing prayer answered. If any two can agree as touching anything, it shall be what? Done. There's power in unity. And when we can come into the unity of the Spirit and into the unity of praying and seeking God for His will to be done, prayer will do it, brothers and sisters. Prayer that is in unity, prayer that is in unity with the will of God and the purpose and the plan of God shall come to pass. Listen, He's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now I beseech you, I earnestly tell you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God. For me. Paul said, in order for this gospel to be spread and that I can come to you, I can minister to you, I'm fighting many hindrances. I'm fighting many obstacles. I'm fighting many things that are coming against me. But all I know is that there's prayer. If it doesn't get the job done, nothing will. But can I tell you, it gets the job done. Somebody said, I'm praying for you. When we tell people we're going to pray for them, guess what? We better keep our word and pray for them. People can die if we don't pray for them. Souls can be lost if we don't pray for them. You and I, brothers and sisters, can help one another to further the will of God, the purpose, the plan of God. You want to help somebody, pray for them. He says, we need to pray together with me in your prayers. In verse 31 of Romans 15, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. He says, listen, I've got folks that I'm around, and I need you to pray that I get delivered from them. You ever just had some folks in your life that you wish just God would deliver you from them? Come on now. We've all been there. God, why do they got to be in my life? They're a thorn in my flesh. I can't hardly stand being around them. I'm telling you, God will let people come into your life and be a thorn to you. They'll be a hindrance to you. They'll pull you into fighting. They'll pull you into strife. I've had God send me some brothers my way that have made me frustrated, that have made me angry. But what it did to me was it made me get on my knees and it made me pray for strength. It made me cry out to God. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, prayer will change you, hallelujah, that you'll be able to endure things that you normally couldn't endure. Prayer is what allows us to endure things. Sometimes God will not deliver us from the trial. He will not remove the thorn out of the flesh. He will not take you completely and heal you of your affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And at some point, God just lets us stay in our affliction for a while till He accomplishes what He wants to accomplish during that time of trial and tribulation and testing. Some trials, they are just plain good for us spiritually. As I close, Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer. That means He's saying, you've been praying, but continue to pray. Continue to pray. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for what? Us. Paul's asking for prayer. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking folks for prayer. I like to be able to ask folks that I know are really going to pray. That God would what? Open unto us. How many need a door to be opened? Pray for what? A door. What will open the doors that you need to be opened? Is prayer. Now they don't always open immediately. But he said, pray that it would be open. It's not open right now. Peter was sitting in that jail cell and some angels came in. And the church on the other side of town didn't know God had dispatched angels. They were praying without ceasing on the behalf of Peter. And God was moving and they didn't even know He was moving. So don't ever get discouraged when you think your prayers are not being heard by God. God may be working in your circumstances right now. You're still praying, but God's moving and you don't even see it. So don't go by what you see. For we walk by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not yet seen. So the spirit of prayer was going forth without ceasing. God brought those angels in there and they gave old Peter a kick and said, boy, get up. We're opening these prison doors. You're going to get released. The chains fell off. God opened up the doors. And they were released. He's walking and he thinks he's dreaming, the Bible says. Then it dawned on him, this is real, this ain't a dream. So he comes to the house where the church is praying. You know the story. That little old girl Rhoda comes to the door. And she opened the door. She recognized the voice. She was so excited, she ran back and told him, Peter, it's Peter. You're a crazy woman. What are you talking about? Isn't it amazing when God does begin to answer prayer, folks don't even believe it. You know, sometimes we can be in a situation so long when God finally does start to make a way and start to open up the door and start to make things happen, you're almost still in unbelief. So they're praying for Peter's release. Rhoda comes with good news. She's so excited, she leaves the door locked instead of opening it and letting them in to show them proof. And they think she's crazy. But God opened the door of the prison. I've said it before, prayer is what opens the doors. Those things that we pray for will be opened up through prayer. Maybe God has us locked up, bound up, and in a set of circumstances for a season to get us to get our prayer life where it needs to be. Maybe He'll leave us in a certain setting, a certain wilderness, and He'll leave us in that prolonged period of testing and trying and temptation so that we can get into a place of prayer that will begin to unlock the door to bring us to the next stage of our life. God's got a plan. And if you want your scenery to change, if you want circumstances to change, you want real change in the lives of you and the lives of others, for the church, for our nation, I don't know what you want to name, but what do you want to see God open up a door for you? Prayer, Paul said in verse 3 of Colossians 4:3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Keep praying till the answer comes. God, He can open the doors, brothers and sisters. Amen. There's power in prayer.